Swiss Army Nation, welcome to your podcast. This show is about you, your passion, and your experiences. Join us for panel discussions, interviews, fan profiles, and so much more. When the curtain drops, the excitement begins. So let's go. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 147 of the Kiss Army Nation podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Pasquale Vary.
And I am Claudio Spera. Welcome to the show, everyone.
It's inevitable. There is bound to be conflict, tension, arguments, and drama from any fan base who displays the amount of passion that Kiss Army does. But what is the root of that conflict? What creates and feeds into that tension? We're going to put forth the premise that it's our expectations that creates these conflicts.
But before we begin, we would like to announce that our regular panel guest, Craig Patton, has decided to leave the show for work-related reasons. So it has always been a pleasure to have Craig on the show, and he's welcome back anytime. So what we decided to do is have a rotation of panel guests, which includes Rolla Brown-Hinckley, Eric Mehta, Michael Bournasian, and Carl Tone.
So having said that, we are so happy to have back on the show. After about, what, a year absence? Rolla Brown-Hinckley, welcome back to the show, my good friend.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Welcome back.
Has it really been a year?
It's been a year. I don't think you've been on for our third season at all.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So welcome to the fourth season.
Thank you. Good to see everybody.
Good to see you. And of course, we are joined by our regular and recurring panel guest, Patrick DeMontigny. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you again for having me. Always fun.
Yeah, Rolla, you're taking the spotlight. So we can't begin the show without a huge congratulations to you and your marriage with David Hinckley. So once again, on behalf of the Kiss Army Nation podcast and all of the audience, you know, a big congrats to you and David. So
Thank
it's been
you.
Awesome.
Thank
so
you.
Can you tell us a bit about that special day?
Let's see. We got married in Negril, Jamaica, on the beach on November the 11th. Beautiful day, beautiful sea. We were treated like royalty, and it was nothing less than a fairy tale. We had 6 days after that for our honeymoon, and it was just wonderful.
Wow.
Just, you know, the food was great, the drinks were great, and everybody there was just amazing. So the island actually has a little piece of my heart. So, and I have actually been listening to Bob Marley music ever since we returned home, no lie.
Really? Nice. With any so you pair Bob Marley with something else, or you just
right now I don't know. It's just such positive and upbeat music. But now, you know, for our wedding day, of course, there was some kiss. When we after we were married and we walked away from the gazebo and we signed our little certificates, of course, Forever was playing. We had to have that. And I think there was some, I think Rock and Roll All Night was what we left our cocktail party to. So, you know, there was some Kiss music there.
There you go.
But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. So.
No, we saw the pictures online, man. It was something to see. It was so cool. Yeah. Beautiful pictures. Beautiful.
Yeah, they took photos. At the end of the photo shoot, we're starting to get a little hot because the day was about 93 degrees by the time we were done.
Wow.
So when we went into the ocean, it felt great.
But I do remember you guys, you and David, wearing so many different, you know, dresses and suits and stuff. Wow, that was fantastic.
Yeah, that was every night. It was like every night when we were on our way to dinner, they start taking photos. You know, okay, we have to have a little photo shoot. Okay.
I love it. Well, congrats once again.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's jump into our topic tonight. And I'm looking forward to seeing all the comments we're going to get from our listeners on this one. So really, it's a simple premise, right? Conflict and tension are fueled by our expectations of the band. So are those expectations realistic or not? So we're going to discuss this using several general topics, and we're going to look at how our expectations have influenced our perception.
So let's kick it off. So let's talk about music now. So Kiss music releases are few and far between, and they are just not profitable. So why do you think is that? So is it because the music isn't good, or because fans have unrealistic expectations of new Kiss music? Rola, you start around.
I think it's a little bit of both. I like the last album. I mean, to me, anything new is kind of exciting because there's a build up, and but I think that's part of the expectation. There's a huge build up, and then if everything is not exactly the way you want it to be, or it doesn't sound like it used to sound, then it's a huge letdown. And the other thing is with the profits, I don't think the music industry, industry is as lucrative as it used to be because of the technical age. You know, it's so easy to rip music off of YouTube and to get, you know, stuff off of Pirate Bay, and it's just not, it's not like it used to be when you knew something was coming out and you went to the record store every week and you waited for stuff to show up on MTV. It's just different, and I think that's where our expectations get lost, you know, with all of that. You know, technology is great, but I think it's done a lot. It's done a number on the music industry as a whole, not just with Kiss, but as with everyone. You know,
Sure. Pat, what's your take?
Well, I think, I think the expectations are a little unrealistic. Totally. Mainly because I think people nowadays are so, I don't know what the right word, but people are really spoiled, and no matter what they release, people are going to criticize it to the point where it's like, I think all artists, whether it's Kiss or anyone else, they read the comments, and probably they're going to go, well, what's the point? If everybody thinks it's awful, why bother? And like Rola said, the lucrative part is not what it used to be. So therefore, it's like, why bother? Because people don't see it, but making a record is a lot of hard work. So it's, what's the point if you're not gonna, if it's not gonna, you're not gonna create another, well, not in the case of Kiss, but there will never be another Back in Black or Appetite for Destruction or Alive or whatever. So you can't really blame them for not wanting to. And having said that, I thought Monster, for myself, I had zero expectations on it. I was pleasantly surprised. I really loved that album, which says a lot coming from me, but it's I thought it was pretty good. So the expectations are too high or unrealistic, or I don't know.
Busk.
I don't think Kiss releasing an album has anything to do with our expectations. I think if Kiss wanted to release an album, they would, regardless of what the fans would think. It's because, when you create music, you want to do something creative. You want to release music that comes from the heart, from your passions and whatever. And I think when it comes to Kiss, that passion, that creativity was gone. It's all about the merchandising now. It's not about making music anymore. Because if it really was about fan expectations and money, Paul would never have released Soul Station. Never. That album didn't do very well. Very small niche of fans for that particular brand of music. He did it anyway. He did it because he wanted to explore that type of music creatively. That's why he released it. And it really upsets me to see, Alice Cooper, Judas Priest, AC/DC, they're still releasing albums. And Kiss is not? I mean, come
I'm with
on.
you.
And listen, I loved Sonic Boom, and I felt that Sonic Boom was something. It sounded like 70s to me. It really did. And I had a friend in the car once. She's not a Kiss fan. She knows the band. I took her to a concert once. She knows the band, and she heard Sonic Boom in my car, and she goes, "That sounds very 70s. Is that an old record?" I go, "No, it was just released."
Look at that.
So it really was 70s sounding. I wasn't as crazy about Monster as I was Sonic Boom. I found Monster a little bit too heavy. I wasn't crazy about the production. I still enjoyed it. I still bought multiple copies. I still promoted it. And you know what? This is going to be the recurring theme throughout this entire episode. You cannot please everybody. Don't even try. You do it because you want to, and don't because you don't want to. Same thing with fans. We choose to buy it or we don't.
Absolutely. You know, one of the good things of being the last is that I can combine all of your responses.
There
This
you
is great,
go.
you know. So, but I know it's I'm with Roland and but not so much on the stuff that fans have unrealistic expectations. You know, with Kiss fans, we're very special, and we're still buying, you know, old music because now it comes in color vinyl, and we're still buying it. Okay, so I think that if they release new music, we will buy it anyways. We'll criticize it maybe. We're gonna debate. You know, we're gonna think that yeah, it's good or not. You know, if it compares to Destroyer or a Revenge, whatever. But we're still gonna buy it. So I don't think that they are not releasing music because of that. They are not releasing music to me because the business has changed, and they only look at business, and the only drive for them to release new music when it was a real business was because there was creativity also, you know, flowing, and now it's gone. So that's why I don't know if I should be so harsh to say that music isn't good, because actually I like Monster and I do like Sonic Boom, but I think their heads are somewhere else. So it's not about the music anymore. Look, they didn't even play a different song during the set list in the tour. So that, and you know, that's easy. It's not even creating new music, but they just wanted to play the same thing over and over again. So nothing new, nothing creative.
True. So another point of contention with the fans is, the pricing of merchandise. Can we really agree what a particular piece of merchandise is worth? Are our expectations too high when it comes to pricing of merchandise? Pat, what do you think about that?
Well, if they want people to buy the stuff, like I cannot explain the reason why some of it is so expensive. I agree that their vinyl, there's a great demand for it, and it's really cool. And I'm one of the few ones that thinks that the latest Creatures vinyl box set reissue is cool, but not at the price it is offered. I think it's fair for the fans to say, look, this is a bit over the top. If you want to sell more merch, I think you got to make sure that it is within the reach of most people. Otherwise, what's going to happen? It's going to send a signal that, well, people don't buy merch, so let's not release it. And I don't think that's the problem. But you know, I don't want to put a mortgage on my house to buy stuff, if I can put it that way. So that's why I'm saying there's a lack of like the people who put out that stuff or release that stuff. I think they don't get it yet. That's my opinion.
Okay. Rollo, what do you think?
I agree with Patrick. It's and he mentioned the creatures. I was a little shocked at that price as well. But you know what? As Kiss fans, we're all very diverse at what merchandise we will pay the extra amount of money for and what we want. And you know, I think Kiss realizes that, hey, if our fans really want this, they're going to buy it. And that's always been true, you know. But I'm with like Patrick said, it's a little up there, but I'm sure that someone will buy it. I mean, I noticed some of the bundles have already sold out, and I'm like, what? They just put them on, you know, and you have the t-shirts, you know, and that sort of thing. But yeah, I think it's a little much.
Claudia?
Well, I think in the case of Kiss, you know, the famous, you know, four piece of marketing, which is, you know, product, pricing, promotion, and place, it doesn't work. First, we debated many times, how sometimes how poor the promotion is and how the distribution doesn't work so well with this online and some of the other, sites. But pricing to me, it's a killer. And I don't think that our expectations are too high. I think that the prices are completely unrealistic. So and they take advantage of it because they created such a fan base, so loyal that and you can see that they are targeting specific demographics, where people have a little bit more money in their pockets and they're willing to pay for it. But to me, it doesn't make sense. If you are a fan now, let's say that you became a fan, like 2 or 3 years ago, and you want to buy merch. If you're a young, a person, 20s, in your 30s, you won't be able to buy this, not at all. So that's why I think it's not working. I don't get it.
Fans had high expectations before, not anymore. Because, as a KISS fan, we want it all. And we're disappointed when something comes out and it's out of our price range. Well, sorry, that's supply and demand. That's what it is. Then we decide if we want to save money, if we want to remortgage, if we want to buy that item, if we could afford it or not. That's just business. I get that. But now it's going a little bit too far. Now we're paying. I remember, listen, I remember when they came out with the picture disc for Rock and Roll Over, it was $50 US. And now you're getting picture discs at 200? What changed exactly? Not the quality, it's just the price. Why are they charging that much? That was insane. They're releasing this box set, $600 for the black vinyl, $1,000 for the colored vinyl. Are you crazy for something we already have? Plus, you have to buy it with a bundle, a t-shirt or a hoodie. Which is also part of the problem because now they know that, you know what? No matter what we charge, fans are going to buy it like crazy. It's going to sell out and they're going to resell it on eBay anyway. So let's take advantage of that. Oh, and at the same time, let's do a t-shirt so they're forced to buy something that they don't want to buy. Well, who pays for that? It's the fans who actually want the product, and now we can't get it because of these resellers. And because the corporation is getting way too greedy and thinks that we're gonna pay anything no matter what. And I think they finally realize that now, we have limits too. We're not that crazy. Too
And
much, too much.
actually everything changed. The economy is not the same, globally. Prices went up drastically, so they can maybe justify saying, the price of gas, the transport, and blah blah blah, but still that's too much. So if we stay on the theme of merch, so fans have their holy grail items that they would like to see released, like box sets or soundboards, video, rare unreleased music, whatever. Is it unrealistic, Pask, to expect that we will ever get these items?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, the band, the Universal, whoever releases these products, need to listen to fans and our expectations. And what are we saying? We want more box sets. Not at $1,000, but we want more box sets. We want more soundboards. So start producing those. Apparently, there's an issue with the release of the soundboards and the box sets right now, something to do with them selling the music. I'm not sure. I get it. I get it. I don't know all the business stuff around it, but listen to what the fans have to say and release what we want. Paul at the Kiss Cruise was saying there isn't a market for video and DVD anymore. You want to bet? You want to bet? You just don't want to do it. You release a video DVD box set of their concerts, fans are going to lose their minds. Put it at a reasonable price, fans are going to lose their minds. Remember when they released the first box set, I forget what year it was, but it was five CDs. They had three versions: the book version, the small guitar case, and the large guitar case. That's great because then fans decide what they can afford and what they want. I bought the middle end. Some people bought the high end, some people bought the low end. But we're given choice. Now we're not given a choice anymore. And that's what I think frustrates fans more and more.
For sure.
Patrick, what's your take?
I think at some point they're gonna need to sit down and I think it's a good step that because I may have said this before on the show, I would walk into the record stores and see like, okay, Pink Floyd released like this super deluxe version of Wish You Were Here or Dark Side of the Moon. I can't remember now, but I was like, okay, well, why doesn't Kiss do that? Now they started to do it, but again, I see little issues like Pask mentioned. And but I think, yeah, there's definitely people like us are gonna buy the off the soundboards. Now I think they should try and maybe release them with covers and everything like that. Yeah, they're gonna be a little more expensive, but probably this is what I want. So do something that well packaged and everything reasonably priced, I must add. But yeah, I think this is what people want. I really believe so. And the box sets. Yeah, I really like the idea of box sets. Again, reasonably priced. But yeah, I think that's what needs to be done. Definitely.
Okay. Rola?
Well, I'm hoping they do. I mean, a lot of the old footage and the, with the raw excitement, that comes along with it, that would be really cool to see. I don't know if you guys remembered, it was sometime last year, some guy was releasing a lot of never seen before
Yeah, of course.
footage of concerts on YouTube, and then all of a sudden they disappeared. I mean, those were amazing. And I would like to see a lot more like that, and as well as a lot more of the music too. But that sort of thing is just interesting to me to see a lot of the old stuff, even if it's in black and white. I mean, to me, it's just it's the beginning. It's it has everything. So,
Do you
but.
believe that there is a market for that? So, or is it only for diehard fans?
I've, probably just for the diehards, but to me, if you're a Kiss fan, that would be, something you would want to see, even if you mixed it up with some of the, other music and the demos and a lot of the unreleased stuff that's never been released before, that would be, interesting, and interviews and things like that. I mean, it's just kind of a part of it's a piece of history that we would like to see and be able to experience.
Sometimes I wonder, this is great, this episode we can be talking here forever. So whether it's if it's us, the expectations, or they don't listen to us. But exactly as you just said, Rola, if they were to put out, let's say, something with rare material, something that we've never seen before, then you can charge more, and you're gonna pay for it,
Exactly.
and
Oh,
you're
yeah.
gonna pay for it
Oh,
because
yeah.
it's something unique.
Yeah.
Now, I think I agree with you guys. So I do expect that some of the releases are gonna come with time. But to be honest with you, I'm trying not to be so negative, but what happened with the Creatures of the Night is not a good sign, because we were so happy with Destroyer, with Creatures, even if it was on CD. But now, okay, we're going into vinyl, but most of the stuff is still the same. So I hope they redirect, the ship. And I would love to see, as you just said, Rolla, something, for the debut album or something really, really from the 70s. There's so much stuff. But hopefully, we'll see. Cross fingers.
Claudio, I want to go back to what you said. Who is the target audience here? It's not the general music fan. It's it's Kiss fans, and Kiss knows what we want. So why aren't they producing what we want? Because if you're making this stuff for the mass market, it's absolutely not going to sell.
Of course.
Right.
No.
Okay, so listen, we beat this horse to death already, and I didn't want to talk about it. I'm tired of talking about this, but let's touch on that damn final show. Listen, why me? Why am I asking this question? We all had our expectations of what we would have loved to have seen at the final two shows in New York. Did those expectations ruin our experience individually as KISS fans of the last two Madison Square Garden shows? Claudio, we'll start with you.
That's a tough one, man.
I have to say
yes and no. Yes, because I think we all had expectations. Of course, different. You know, to any KISS fan that you were talking to, you know, okay. Of course, you know, seeing Ace and Peter on stage was kind of a no-go, but we were expecting something unique. And I think it's fine to go to Madison Square Garden in New York to see your band, you know, wrap up 50 years of history and have some expectations. I think it's fine. I cannot imagine myself going there, you know, thinking like, okay, whatever, you know, I don't expect anything special. No, because, you know, KISS, over time in history, they were teasing us all the time when they were releasing new music, when they were releasing a video, with everything. And even for the shows, they were saying, we're going to spend $1 million extra. We're going to, that's going to be so special, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's the yes. And why no, I say. Because at the end of the day, we had a KISS show, one of those, you know, one of many, same thing. We take it for what it is, you know. At the end of the day, you can say, yeah, I was there, you know, in those two final shows. But I have to say that maybe I'm more inclined to say yes, that the expectations ruined, you know, the final, you know, effect of the shows. But as I said before, you know, it was all about expectations. So that's why we're so upset and so you know, so sad that that nothing special really happened.
Okay, Rella?
Well, I did not go.
Yeah.
And my final show was to be in Knoxville with second row seats and a meet and greet. So I was very disappointed because I had high expectations about that show. And I deliberated for days about whether or not to go to New York. And Dave was adamant. He's like, I'm not going. It's not going to be worth it to me. Because of what happened in Knoxville, I don't want to go and just see them and pay exorbitant amounts of money and then not be able to do a meet and greet like we planned. You know, that's what he wanted to do for the last concert. And he said, but if, by all means, if you want to go, you can room with somebody, go. And I thought about it, and I thought about it. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to go without you.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. I didn't want to see that last show without him.
No, that was part of the experience to be with him.
And that's right. Exactly. And we watched it on pay-per-view. And I know pay-per-view is different. You don't get the full experience of seeing all your friends and being there. But I have mixed feelings, but part of me is I'm at peace with the fact that I didn't go because I know that I would have been disappointed.
Okay.
Because it was the same show that we had been seeing for years, like you said. I just felt in my heart that they were going to do something different and something spectacular for the last show, and when they did it, we just kind of looked at each other like, wow, was that it, you know? And we were glad that we watched it in our living room and not in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't regret not going.
Rolla, if I may ask, so you mentioned that the last show was also kind of disappointing to you. So why was that?
I think because it was the same show. Okay. I mean, there wasn't any mention of former members. There wasn't even any kind of little video montage on the screen, you know, with former members. And I can honestly, Paul's voice, it didn't sound bad, but it wasn't the greatest. But I can, for the first time, I can say, you know, Gene always sounds incredible to me, always. And Gene's voice sounded tired,
Okay.
almost like he was getting whatever Paul had, and it was almost like he was hoarse. And for the first time, I can say, you know what, Paul, Gene didn't sound too good that last. He didn't sound too good. He wasn't what I expected him to be either. So it was disappointing. Disappointing.
Okay.
Pat, what about you?
I'm the same as Rolla. I did not attend New York, didn't plan to, because I kind of knew like nothing special was going to happen. For some reason, I was like, again, maybe the expectations are a little too high here. Or as I mentioned, I didn't expect a Unplugged 2.0, meaning Ace and Peter would show up. I knew this wasn't going to happen. So I was at peace with the idea that my last show would be Montreal. And the show itself was good.
It was good. Yeah, Montreal
Yeah,
was
it
good.
was great. No complaints here.
Yeah.
But, you know, more powers to those who did attend New York. I'm happy I made the choice not to. And I'm sure the people who went there had a great time, no doubt about it. But not worth me spending the bucks and knowing that I was at 99.999% that it was going to be the same show. And that's it. So, no, I don't regret not going. Not at all.
Listen, everybody knows I did not enjoy the final two shows whatsoever. It had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with expectations. I had no expectations for the final two shows. I didn't expect any new music. I didn't expect a new show. I didn't expect any previous band members to show up, any of that. I just went, let's see what happens. But you know, if I were to see any of you guys, I wouldn't expect you to be respectful. You should be respectful. There's no expectation there. You do the right thing. So when I got there, I'm trying to enjoy the show. Claudio, you were there with me. I tried, and I just sat down and go, "What the? What is this?" I just couldn't. They weren't doing the right thing. It's like hanging out with a friend and they're constantly telling you off. At one point, has nothing to do with expectations. I don't like being talked to that way. I'm going to walk away. And that's what I did. I sat down. That's what the show was to me.
But
It was
look, so
like,
then that means that you were expecting something different to happen.
no, Claudio, if I hang out with you, I expect you to, I don't expect you to be respectful. You should be respectful, right? So there's no two ways about that. There's no expectation there. Do the right thing. Be a good person. So when I got there, I had no expectations, no illusions of Ace and Peter being there, of adding new music, or even adding something to the show. None. But it's like, can you do the right thing? This is the final show. Can you give us something special? I don't know what that is. I don't
So the
care.
right thing was something different to the standard. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
That's the right thing.
At the very least, pay homage to past members. The people that got them there at the very least. And you couldn't do that. I felt so angry, so betrayed. I'm starting again. Sorry, I'm starting again. You know, and listen, man, I want to call it quits at that point because I was just so angry. It's like, why would I continue being friends with this person that's constantly being disrespectful towards me? No.
You said it again. That's
I
good.
said it
That's good.
again. I thought I was over this. Okay, I'm not.
So then, speaking of the end of the road, so we all have our ideas of what we would like the band to do next. Okay, so what would you like to see happen next? So are they doomed to criticism because no matter what they choose to do, it could never meet our expectations? Pat, what do you think?
Yeah, they're doomed to be criticized no matter what they do. Now, speaking of what my expectations are, well, I think they could maybe, I don't know, I wouldn't be against, you know, if they did like a Vegas residency or maybe do a few acoustic shows here and there or just Not even acoustic, like just like a simple show, no makeup, no stage show, nothing, just like show here and there. Why not? Because again, it's they play with words. It's the end of the touring cycle. But how about one and ups here and there? I wouldn't have a problem with it personally. I don't see why not. And of course, I would like we discussed before, maybe a better manage to manage better the releases. That's it.
Okay. Ask, what about you?
This is a great question because, of course, we're all going to have expectations for what we want to see happen after the end of the road. And I would love to see rare unreleased music, video, more box sets, more soundboards, some really cool merch, reasonably priced. I don't expect a residency. I like to see Soul Station, Gene Simmons solo band. Wouldn't mind seeing that. I don't expect Kiss to play as Kiss, but everybody has their expectations. And for the band, this is easy because you will never please all the fans all the time, but
No.
you could please some of the fans some of the time. So today, we're going to please these fans with this box set. Next time, we're going to please these fans with the Gene Simmons show. And now we're going to please these fans with this huge ticket item. There's going to be something for everybody. Now we're doing the avatars, not for me, but it might be for you. It's okay, So I think over time, everybody will get something over time. Don't expect it right now, instant gratification, but over time, it's easy. But Claudio, like you said, with the release of Creatures, this is a bad sign. And if they go down this road, I'm sorry, man, they're screwed because we're not going to take it anymore, Twisted Sister.
I think they're gonna try things. It's always been like this. We tend to think that yeah, it's a well-oiled machine, that everything, it's calculated. No, that's not how it was. Never with Kiss. They tried, and there's some good attempts, but some really bad ones too. And they keep going, even with the music, with some of the records, and they kept going. That's how they reached, 50 years. But now, in my humble opinion, I don't have great expectations actually to for anything coming up. Yeah, new releases, of course, rare stuff, as Rhoda and Pat were saying. I love that. It's something unique on boxes. And live stuff, well, I would love to see them do something like what happened back in the 95 it was with the convention.
Yeah,
I
that'd
would
be
love to
great.
see that. I
Yes.
would love to see that. That's it. I'm a bit done with the makeup and the costumes and all the gimmicks and the script show. I would love to see something spontaneous, from them, if there's something left there for them. But yeah, that's my only thing.
Cool. Rallo, what do you think?
Well, I feel the same way Claudia and Patrick do. I feel like, I'd like to see, like we said before, more of the old stuff, and I would love to see them do a lot more with their solo careers, like the Gene Simmons band, and with even with Soul Station with Paul Stanley. And it would be great to see the guys together, like he said, out of makeup and doing little tours here and there, or even Regency in Vegas would be awesome. Put on a couple of shows a night, a week, and be done out of makeup. That would be great. I would love to see that. But they're going to be, it's like you said, they're going to be criticized regardless of what they do, because this fan's going to want this and this fan's going to want that, and it's you can't please everybody. There are a lot, I hate to say this, but I've wanted to say it the whole time, there are a lot of entitled Kiss fans. And yes, I said the word entitled.
It's true. It's true. It's true. Let me ask you something, guys. So this is kind of a little bit out of script, but with we discussed this on other episodes past, but with 10,000 volts and the touring, so did Ace come to kind of fill up the hole that we have with Kiss? Did he come at the right time with this? What do you guys think?
Claudio, I thought about this actually, because We talked about this in previous episodes, and you were surprised how much I liked the album. And to this day, I've been listening to it every single day since it's been released, and I love it. I just love this album. But I wonder though, is it because I'm hungry for Kiss, and this is what we have now? It's like, when you're in the desert starving for, you need that drinking water and you finally get it, you can't get enough of it. Maybe that's what this is.
Could
But
be.
I don't want to take away from what he did and what everybody behind the scenes did. It was an incredible achievement, regardless.
And here we have two big Ace fans,
Yes.
Pat and Ross. So what do you guys think about
I love it.
the new album and everything that is
I
going
love
on?
it. I love it. I followed Ace for a while, and anytime he's close by, we go. And so this, the last two albums were great, but this one we've been waiting for it. And it's like Dave and I said, it was almost like, I know that every song almost on that album is for Laura. I mean, he is just so much in love with her. And Dave said to me the other day, he's like, you know what? It's almost like every one of those songs is for us. And I'm like, you're right. You're right. I mean, it's just it's anyway. But yeah, I got him one of her paintings for Christmas with the I'll show it to you. With the and I had her put the 10,000 volts on it.
Oh, cool.
So yeah. And
I gotta get one of those. That is
yeah,
cool.
we chat. It was so nice to speak with her because she's an artist and I paint, and so we chatted for probably about an hour, and it was just really, I showed her some of my work, and she was very motivational to me, and it was just an amazing little experience that I had with her when I bought that for him.
So
So
you were
nice.
speaking about painting and art and all this stuff, right?
Right, yeah. So that was kind of a joint Christmas present because I wanted it
It's
too. So
beautiful,
nice.
beautiful. Is David also a big Ace fan?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so I want to end this episode with our closing comments to the following question or questions. So, in general, where do you believe the problem lies? Is it with the band, who we can argue is out of touch with the fans? Is the problem the fans, who, like Rawa said, are entitled? Is the problem both? Or is it simply human psychology that you just can't please everybody all of the time? So why even bother trying? Rawa, what do you think about that?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, you have, I tend to feel like I'm a positive, realistic Kiss fan. I'm happy to see all the new merch and hear the music. And if it's something that I don't like, then I'm not going to complain about it. I just won't buy it. And then I'll buy something that I do like and I do find exciting. I tend to like more unusual type merchandise and items where somebody else may like just t-shirts but yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's trying to please everybody and you can't please everybody. And like I said before, a lot of fans tend to be more entitled and they criticize every little thing that doesn't quite meet up to their standards or what they think should be, and it's not, if that makes sense.
Hey, Patrick, what do you think?
I think it can be a little bit of both. I mean, definitely the band can be a little out of touch. Again, as I said before, they've gotten better because, like, the Destroyer box set, I cannot say good enough things about it. Creatures, same thing. So they're finally hearing that fans want something. Now they're out of touch with what we discussed about the Creatures vinyl version. And also the fans, maybe we are a little too, we don't realize that there's lots of politics also. Quick example, when they released the Lick It Up, a Raw merch, I was expecting to see t-shirts with Vinny and the band, and there was none of that. I'm sure now that's just my opinion. There must have been a reason for that. Maybe legally they weren't able to do it. So we tend to forget that there are sometimes legal stuff and not necessarily looking to find someone who says that's this person's fault. Sometimes the legal side can be a lot more complicated than we can understand or imagine. So there may be part of that why sometimes stuff isn't exactly what we want. Just like for an example, if you want to release a magazine and one photo has no, they don't have the copyright for it, they have to switch. So, getting back to the question, I think it's a mix of both. The band can be a little out of touch, and the fans sometimes either they don't know or they don't understand. So, it's a little bit of both, I think.
Okay. Claudia?
Well, I'm with Roland, Pat. I think it's a little bit of both, and we talked about this. I don't believe personally that Kiss owes me anything at all. You know, I don't feel entitled to say, oh, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. I think the world has changed. I'm trying to put this into perspective also, right? So it's not the 70s anymore where everything was kind of reachable and there was so much stuff, everything was massive. And even if you compare, you know, 2022, that was a big year when they released a lot of stuff. Remember that
Oh
we were
yeah.
discussing that we spent a lot of money. In these 2 years, many, many things have changed. And now I think they're gonna drop stuff every once in a while to make sure that maybe there's some traction with fans, that fans will buy it. I don't think that we will see a massive, you know, releases every month or every anniversary as we were thinking. I think they're going to stretch it, you know, over the years to keep releasing stuff. I think if we do have our expectations will start to diminish a bit. You know, that's why we're so in love with Ace. I have nothing against Ace. You know, I think what he did is great. But we're gonna kind of maybe focus our passion to something else. Because to me, I have the impression by looking at what they did at the last show and what happened over, we know with the you know announcing the Avatars in 2027. I think that Paul and Gene are done with Kiss. They are tired. They don't want to have anything to do with that. Maybe they're going to outsource all this marketing, you know, campaign and products to someone else. Maybe they're going to be selling the catalog, as you said before. And now they're going to, you know, spend their time either painting or with Gene Simmons' band or with their families. You know, they've been around for 50 years. So I think they paid their dues already. What do you think, Basque?
Okay, I think the problem is A, with the fans. Who the heck are we to say anything about what the band is doing, what the band is releasing, and how the band is doing it? Second, why is the band even listening to what we are saying? It's their business. It's their creativity. They should do what they want. Now, we should shut our mouth and speak, not with our mouth, not with our voice, with our pocketbook. Remember in the 70s, anything that Kiss came out with, we loved it or we didn't. How did Kiss know if something worked or not, if it sold well or not? How did they know now if something works or not? Because Kiss fans are going freaking nuts. Stop listening to us. You do what you want to do, and you figure out what works and what doesn't work based on the sales. So, for example, with the vinyl box set of Creatures, forget what fans are saying. Don't even listen to what we have to say. It's all nonsense because we're all saying different things. Look at how it did or how it's doing. It didn't do well. Oops, we better change. But don't do it because of what we're saying. Do it because of the sales. And what's messing everything up, in my opinion, is social media. Even movie makers, Star Wars fans, Star Trek fans, they're listening to the fans and thinking about what the fans are saying when they're creating the episode or they're creating the movie. Don't do that. You do your episode, you do your movie, and if it does well, you know you hit the mark. This is what fans resonate with. Keep doing that. And if it doesn't, change. But stop listening to people. Everybody has a damn voice and it's too much. Money talks. That's it. That's all. We should go back to that. It's a business. It's a business, pure and simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well said. Well said. Yeah. So, guys, it's been quite a pleasure to see you again, Rola and Pat, you know, discussing this hot topic. But, you know, somehow we found it to make it, you know, fun and entertaining. So once again, thank you for your time. It's been great to see you.
It's good to see you and a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, same for me. Always a pleasure and always fun to discuss different topics.
It was sad to see Craig go. He was an excellent part of the show, of this discussion panel. But I like what we decided to do a rotation of people to come on the show, because we're going to have even more perspective on mm-hmm. these different topics. It's going to make it mm-hmm. more challenging, more mm-hmm. interesting. And now we have a group on Facebook where, you know, what topics do you want to talk about? And the array of topics that we have is just fantastic. And, you know, there's a different dynamic here with you, Raula. And it was fantastic getting your perspective on this topic. And it made this episode so much fun. So Raula, thank you so much for coming
you.
Back after a year.
And it doesn't feel like it's been that long.
You didn't forget us?
No. And next time I hope to be in my little kids cubby closet that I made in my bedroom, because two Kiss fans getting together, the whole house is Kissed is everywhere. And
that'd be awesome.
This is awesome. Kiss and Ace Frehley all over the place.
Yes, the whole bedroom. I had to move my Kiss room into my bedroom so he could have that room for a closet. And so the whole bedroom is Kiss, and there's Kiss everywhere, and you, except maybe not so much in the kitchen here, but yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Not very cool.
Anyway. Love it.
And also, thank you to Patrick. You know, every time we ask to come on the show, and it's going to be more and more often, by the way, because we want to do more of these discussion panels. And you're just so enthusiastic with the topics. It's like, yeah, let's go. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It's too much fun.
Yeah. It's been amazing. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So to the Kiss Army, we hope that you enjoyed this episode. And if you have any questions, comments, or ideas, please send them to talktome@kissarmynationpodcast.com. Until the next time, remember, never stop rocking. Take care, everyone. If you enjoyed this episode, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and X. You can watch us on YouTube or listen to us on Podomatic, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. This is about you. So please like and subscribe to support the amazing guests we have on the show. See you soon, Kiss Army.